Remember, we've talked about the three that bear witness in heaven. I can't emphasize what I'm about to say, the importance of it. The three that bear witness in heaven are the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The three that bear witness in earth are the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Now, in order to apprehend the fullness, we will finish the blood, the waters of purification soon. But in order to apprehend what it is that it truly means to be led of the Spirit, you first have to apprehend the blood and the water. And I want you to anticipate what it is like to be truly led of the Spirit. I want you to anticipate what it will be like to truly have the gifts of the Spirit operating in a body without the prejudices that normally are taken into a religion, without the prejudices of the modern charismatic movement and all of that other garbage. If we can see what has happened vis-a-vis the water and the waters of purification, and apprehend the blood of the sacrifices, then the Spirit can truly begin to work. And that's what's set before us. Now, I want you to concentrate while I'm gone on seeing in you the effects of the waters of purification. Now, John has all the notes, so there's enough notes to review and look at and talk about. And I'd highly recommend that you and John get together and go over and look at them or listen to the tapes again.
Yeah.
Because that is the arena that is most needed. You need to understand what it has meant. First of all, you need to understand what leprosy was. You need to understand what adultery was or is, and you do. You need to understand what touching the dead body means, and you do. It's there if you can apprehend it. So what it means to come out of her, my people, touch not the unclean thing. You're not cleansed by blood. The unclean thing is cleansed by the waters of purification in the law. Then we can begin to appropriate and understand what it means, what the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit is. Otherwise, you've just taken the gifts and calling of God are given without repentance, so the Spirit's poured out, and people misuse it all over the place. The reason I've never really taught this group on what spiritual gifts are, even though I believe and operate in them all the time, is because I understood what it meant, that the gifts and calling of God are given without repentance. That means that the Holy Spirit is given, and just like we've polluted the air, we've polluted the Holy Spirit. Just like He's given us grass, we've covered it over with cement. Well, I don't want that happening with the Holy Spirit. So that's what's set before us, and that's what we will be concentrating on from now on. But please, please, I beg of you, if you don't understand, if you haven't apprehended what it means to be cleansed from the leprosy, from the adultery, and from the waters of jealousy, and from the touching of the dead body, then listen to the tapes, get together, talk it over while I'm gone. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I also believe that bananas should work on those areas. We'll just let the Star Trek go for a while. You understand? So it's up to you two to coordinate all this. Which means that Barbara does it anyway, but Harry acts like he does.
We appreciate that.
Anybody have anything
to edify? You do that well.
Compliments from the Rebel.
This is Jack Bingham.
Okay. Isaiah 29. These are readings we didn't finish. Of Yom Kippur readings.
See if I got some stuff out of that.
Okay. Isaiah 29 is one of the readings for Yom Kippur. Always has been.
Always will be.
Always will be. We're going to see why in a minute.
29. What are those up there?
The same thing. Isaiah 29, Ezekiel 33, and Isaiah 57, 14, and 58, 14. Those are the three readings we didn't do Sunday. But we're going to do Isaiah 29 tonight. Woe to Ariel. Now, what is Ariel?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
It's his line of God.
That's right. It's Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is the Lion of God. Okay?
The what?
It's the Lion of God. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. And thou shalt be brought down. Now he's talking to, this is God talking to Jerusalem, the city of God. Now, all this took place. This was written 730 BC. It took place twice. They raised mounts, tore down the walls, plowed the city under. Remember the quote, remember the scripture in Revelation? Let's stop a minute. Where it says, the city is Sodom and Egypt, the city where our Lord was crucified. That doesn't make very much sense to the natural mind. Sodom and Egypt, the city where our Lord was crucified. I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground. And thy voice shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Now, the other reading, the other thing, the word Jonah is read on Yom Kippur. That's when the book is read. The word Jonah, or Yonah, is the Hebrew word for dove. And so, from that and from other things, the rabbis state that Yom Kippur is when, remember the dove didn't return in the ark? Yom Kippur is when Jonah was swallowed by the whale. Yom Kippur is when the waters overflowed Christ. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's the day that Christ was baptized. And then there's a mystery that takes place. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Let's go there. Keep your hand in Isaiah on this. Matthew 12. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, He just said to them, "For by words thou shalt be justified, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Kind of an interesting play on words. "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." In other words, if you're truly a rabbi, if you're truly a master, show us a sign. "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." Why? Why would that be? Why is it so evil to seek after a sign?
No faith.
No faith. Mm-hmm.
He denies the finishedness of it.
Well, you remember? No, it was in this group. It was the other group. If you can see what you hope for, you can't hope. That's why we are saved by hope. Some of you are extremely evil in this regard, because to you a sign is some aspect after the flesh, something that you can see, some resolution that's perceived by your senses, some power that's perceived by your senses. "An adulterous and sinful generation seeketh after a sign." The Antichrist will give you all the signs in the world. The Antichrist is coming in Jesus' name, and his power is what he can do for you. And you can get all excited about it. I used to go to these charismatic meetings, and I'd get sick to my stomach, and everybody else was yelling and praising God, "Hallelujah!" And I'd get sick. And I didn't know why. Peter said that of this you are willingly ignorant of, that all things continue as they were from beginning of creation. Do you understand me?
It's like that thing in Hosea Habakkuk, where he says, you know, even if the fig tree doesn't blossom, all that.
Do you understand me? Please, because some of you are still seeking signs.
Is it that if all things continue
as they were from the beginning of creation? Mockers and scoffers say, "Where is the evidence of the presence?" The moment they say, "Where is the evidence of his presence?" then you have the opportunity for the deceiver to come in with lying signs and wonders. I don't care what it looks like. Because I know that if I can see what it is, then it's not hope. And if it's not hope, then faith is impossible. Do you see the ultimate evil of desiring a sign? Please, is there anyone that doesn't see it? Argue with me.
There's a difference between seeking after a sign and the fact that there are signs. One, your faith in God is predicated upon seeing something. But signs and wonders do follow after believers.
Follow after.
Right.
I mean, in other words, you've already gone to the next thing. You don't give a holy shit whether there's a sign or a wonder.
Yeah.
You're on to the next thing. That's why it says the sign shall follow. I'm serious. You got to hear me. Because you're going to be deceived if you don't understand this.
This is like having to understand it first before you do it.
Oh, yeah.
Or grok it before you speak. Is that... Now, I'm not sure I know what a sign is.
Something to you. To you, a sign is something that you think is necessary to define your success.
Maybe a feeling or...
Feeling or emotion.
Something to
or something visible.
Or circumstance ending up a certain way.
I was listening to Gary and Judy discuss some situation earlier and I was seeing something and I thought, oh good, there's a sign that they're resolved over there. And then I saw what I was doing, that was not where it was happening at all.
all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The mockers and the scoffers will say, where is the evidence of his presence? And you say that by wanting a sign. God didn't care what your words are.
Absolutely guilty.
Is anybody else guilty?
Well, I didn't realize that you've been talking so much about the way I've been here. I've been waiting for a great awakening, and if I'm waiting for that, then I can see where that leads, really leaves me open to be totally deceived and led astray. Because that's exactly what I had been
waiting for, a sign, waiting for a revelation, waiting for those things is the signal to the angel that's going through Jerusalem in Ezekiel 9 that you have the whore's forehead.
Getting something, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between that and like setting up fleas? Like when you said God has to give you a job, I know you didn't do that, but or you changed your mind, but that kind of...
No, it's no different. It's the same thing. I'm just as evil as you are.
Setting up different. I don't know. Fleas.
Fleas.
He said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, that's the mystical three. That's 3 days and three nights. Come out, if you computed out the way it comes out, 3.5 days. Ezekiel says, a day is as a year in prophecy. Again, we have 3.5 years. Again, we have the point in time that from the standpoint of your life, he's hid for those 42 months. Now, that's 42 months in the spirit. It may be 42,000 years in time. It doesn't matter. But it's purposely 42 months hidden in the earth. It's the point in time, in reality, from baptism to the sacrifice. From God's standpoint, the oblation ceased at the reading of Jonah at the baptism of Jesus. Sacrifice was done. It wasn't manifested. When? 3.5 years later.
So this 3.5 years in hell, or in the belly of the whale, or whatever you want to call it, is the time when we learn not to seek for a sign.
Amen. Now, we're still there, because there's still some of you seeking a sign.
Is like seeking a sign when you see something and you say, oh, this happened this way, so that means I must be doing it right.
That's exactly. Yeah. It's somehow being influenced by that which you perceive by the senses.
Yeah. This happened, so that's what this means.
That's the ultimate. But it's been being influenced by. Again, things like, let me put it in the line here. It's things like, if you have had hands laid on you to have a Bible study, and nobody comes, so you become, you just let it go, you drop it, because nobody's there. It's instant, in season and out of season. Your availability is there. It's the kind of thing that if something doesn't take place the way you think it should, you quit. You faint in your mind. If you faint in your mind, consider Jesus, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. God wants you to a point where no sensory perception that's possible within time and space can affect your face, because it's set like flint to go up to Jerusalem. Now that's all I've been trying to do to you for all these years. So that you cannot be deceived by anything. You understand me? Mm-hmm. Gary?
I'm hearing this in the sense of my position is one that in the rest you wait, and when God's timing is right, it's set before you and it happens. If you seek to stir it up or make it happen, you're out of the rest and blah, 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 blah.
Well, let's go back to Isaiah 29. Maybe we'll see this greater. This is what all this is about.
No, it's so subtle, because I was thinking about when I talk to somebody and, you know, their reaction, I must have said them the right thing to cause them to be closer to repentance, because look at them, you know, they're over there, you know. But partly it gets into catching your words, because thinking about it ahead of time to formulate the right words to cause the person to hear you is the same thing.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Adding water to the water.
Yeah.
Isn't a sign by definition either a graven image or a multiple image?
Yeah, we'll see. Thou shalt be brought down and shalt speak out of the ground. Thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. That's not an option. Now this is talking about the city of God. God couldn't make it. You know, that's why I hate these idiots so bad that are blaspheming God's name. All right, watch. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers. That means the people that are around that are just strange, they're there, but the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust. And the small dust is what? It's the dust that's left over after the wheat has been weighed. It's the dust of the chaff. And thy terrible ones, the terrible ones are what? Your enemies. The ones that you're impressed with. You're impressed with them by the what?
Fear.
You're impressed with them when you give them importance. Thy terrible one shall be as chaff that passeth away, yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. And the multitudes of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her. Now, the word nations there is the Hebrew word am. It doesn't mean nations. It means people. It means anyone that is coming against you for any reason, including you. They shall be now. Who's the you? There's only one you that's coming against you, that fight against you, or that distress you. That you is the seed of Christ. As a corporate unit, it's the seed. I mean, as an individual unit, it's the seed. As the corporate unit, it is the bride. You understand? Everything, including your mind, that fights against the seed shall be as a dream of a night vision. That's why I keep telling you that your life, people continually ask me, well, what it's going to be like? What was it like when you went, when you got taken away, when you were in this Damascus thing? It was as though everything else that had ever happened to me, every person I'd ever met, every moment, every stimulus that I've ever experienced was a dream, and that it lasted, I remembered it for that fast. And then it was only awareness of this incredible joy and peace and no other awareness. I didn't think about, you know, poor old mom. Your life, you're the life of the wicked one. The life of the sensory perception, the wicked one. Just listen to me, don't go there. Stay where you are in Isaiah. But Job says, The triumphing of the wicked one is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as the vision of the night. That's in Job 20. Now, the multitude of the nations that fight, or the people that fight against Jerusalem, it's that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. That's what Isaiah was speaking of, is that same passage in Job 20. It, and he further expands it then. It shall be as when a hungry man dreameth. That's why we've fasted on Yom Kippur. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was trying to go to sleep, I had nothing but thoughts about Domino's pizza or big thick steaks or water. Or it shall be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eats in his dream.
Yeah.
But he wakes up when his soul is empty, as hungry as he ever was. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awakeneth, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the peoples be that fight against Mount Zion, including you. Your glory is but for a moment, and it's our job as a body to expose the son of perdition. You, this mind is the one that's continually seeking for a sign. The more we have with regard to exposure externally, the more temptation there will be to seek for a sign. The more those of you who are now been laid hands on and are now teaching, the more temptation there will be to seek for a sign. Your temptation now is at a different level. For most of you, your basic needs are met. You're slowly but surely at least getting out of debt and all the other crap that messes with the Gentiles. But now your temptation is going to be along the lines of the temptation of Christ. Be successful. Have a public ministry. I have been here with this revelation for 15 years, and you're the fruit of it. This isn't a sign, folks. This is what a sign is.
What's a sign?
Yeah, well,
there's
two of you.
What?
It's two a year.
Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. That's what we're going to... They are drunken. Who? Everybody. They're drunk with the wine of Ephraim. Isaiah 28. The wine of self-seeking. Oh, it's a heady wine. Every bit of their communication is towards self-seeking, manipulation. You cannot speak the words of Christ in the words of manipulation. Am I communicating with any of you?
I didn't catch that one.
You can't worry about whether or not anybody hears you or not, or you can't even care. Because you're no longer drinking the wine of Ephraim. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. Now this is crying out to the world. You understand me, what he's doing right now? He has poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep. That's why to us I cry, wake up! Stop chasing the vain things of your little lifetime. Begin to have the perspective of eternity. See the target and nothing else exists. Not these little crappy things that affect the flight of the arrow. The Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, princes, governments. The seers hath he covered. All the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. This book. They're in a famine. There are more Bibles per capita than any other time in history. There's more stupidity in religion than any other time in history. The vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Now that includes, if I've taught you the fear of God, you don't know the fear of God. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent shall be hid. That returns back to you. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Every single time you want to be different and you want your circumstances to be different than they are, you're saying to God, in the dark, in the secret, why have you made me thus? For any reason. Don't care how sincere your reason is. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing, and the scorner is consumed. And this one, you got to watch out for this one. And all they that watch for iniquity are cut off. Just waiting for someone to stumble. How many of you in this group honestly wanted Bloom to stumble? And God forgive you. How many of you honestly want some enemy to fail? And God forgive you. that make a man an offender for a word. How many of you lay in wait if you had an enemy, an argument with your spouse? To make a man an offender for a word. You don't want to do that anymore.
I think of doing that in listening to a preaching or things like that, and just the doctrine doesn't just ring as we know it.
If it's blasphemy, it's blasphemy.
But what different? I mean, if I'm sitting there waiting for him to do it.
Oh, no, don't wait for him to do it. Rejoice when he says something right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I sit there and wait for him to do the other. That make, you know, that's where I'm seeing this stuff from.
That lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. For thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of my hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. And they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want you all to read the book of Jonah. What?
When it reminded me of all the, you know, the how we get all kinds of preaching in them, but always there's this seeing in you of us at the end, in this place of they that err in spirit shall come to understanding, they that murmur shall learn doctrine.
Amen.
And it overwhelmed me, you know, with God's mercy in that place because of all that we just read.
Amen. Well, read those, Ezekiel 33 and Isaiah 57. But I'm just going to go to another point. Just don't go there. It's the last part of Ezekiel 33. Just listen. He just whipped ass. He's talking about the watchman's duty. He's saying if one of you is appointed a watchman, and he goes through all that point. Yeah. And he says, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. You understand? He's saying they're talking against him, but they're saying, come and hear. And they come unto thee. Think about it. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they will do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now, every one of you, the role that you will play as a body and as a people is the role of prophecy. But you have to see that when you say you have an opinion, then you are grabbing your censer. And you're becoming as Uzziah. instantly, this Holy Spirit will place the leprosy on your forehead.
Yeah.
You can't have an opinion.
Yeah.
You speak as the oracles of God.
Yeah. God has an opinion.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you've already put yourself in opposition to yourself.
Yeah.
Are you opposing yourself? That's what mind talk is.
Yeah.
Mind talk is leprosy. And you're forever and utterly alone. Aren't you tired of being alone? You don't need me to explain it more. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire on the Day of Atonement because they refused to worship cause and effect. I guarantee you, you cannot enter into a moment of mind talk without worshiping cause and effect. As soon as the instruments in the temple, this stupid idol, Bel, was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, he couldn't stand up. So Babylon had to, by illegal means, take the gold from the temple, the rightful temple, and make a base out of it so that it would cause the idol, the stupid idol, to stand up. The moment that you remove, the moment that you let the utensils in your temple return to their right order, then the bell will fall. And for bells fall, you'll be thrown into the fire. You understand me?
What does thrown into the fire mean?
You'll be tested.
Shadrach, thrown into the fire. Here's what he said. Shadrach, thrown into the fire for not worshiping cause and effect, for refusing mind talk. He said, I called upon the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is in my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Meshach, thrown into the fire at the same time. Here's what he said. On Yom Kippur. You got that? Meshach said, for it shall come to pass in that day that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. They shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I'll raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, for lo, I will save thee from afar and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I will make a full end of the nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee together. Will not leave thee altogether unchastened. Abednego was thrown into fire and said, he just said one thing. He said the Shema, but one verse of the Shema. And he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Aaron's two sons were burned by the fire because they offered strange fire to God. and they are forever sitting at the gates of hell. And they read the 91st Psalm night and day. I don't want you. Do you have a readiness to revenge the disobedience of the evil one? Then don't tolerate it anymore. You sit around and talk about this stuff like it's, you know, optional. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place of the Lord of the Most High is on the mercy seat between the wings of the cherubim. That place is called the oracle of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man think, let him think as the oracle of God. You cannot be anywhere else. And your opposition of yourself is duality. And the duality within you will cause even that light to be in you so dark. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is double, even the light that is within you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Amen. So this is the psalm. I mean, this is the thing that the two sons of Aaron are saying at the gates of Gehenna, outside the eastern gate. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty forever. I will say of the Lord, He is my only refuge and my only fortress, my God, and in Him only will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Thus His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. For thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. And that word, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, is the plague of leprosy.
And that's what Christ heard as he entered.
Yeah. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, leprosy again, come nigh unto thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. And we saw, for those of you who are in bananas, we saw thou shalt, that's treading upon the sign of Scorpio and taking command over the serpent. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me any time, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And there's 1,000 other things that happened in Yom Kippur, but that'll give you enough to talk about. Think about it. I don't mind talking.
Just now when you were saying that, for some reason I thought about I had judged bananas, but when you were reading that, I felt this, that whatever, you know, the God was doing something, and it was wonderful that they were in this place with him, in it. And it was different than how in a moment I saw us. And it was no less, and it was excellent. It was excellent and they were doing it, but it didn't I didn't have to be jealous in the way that I had always been jealous before.
Man. Think on these things.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the idea of the cleansing, what we talked about so much, the waters, because it seems like whenever I get in a place, you know, it's like the thing you always fear, or what you think you fear, is the hard words, but that's always the freedom. That's always, you know, that's always the release. You
know? Anybody have anything else? Remember, I need to borrow somebody's garment bag, briefcase, and or shoulder bag. And I'm leaving Sunday sometime. I don't know yet exactly when, but probably Sunday around noon.
We'll be able to meet you Thursday. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be tied up?
No, we'll meet Thursday. And again, any tithes or offerings are needed, so. Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy. Don't be dismayed. Now, turn from self, rise.